Amen. Praise the Lord for His presence in this place. Praise the Lord for the privilege that we have to assemble in His presence and for what we've received thus far this morning. What a tremendous blessing. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. The last book of the Bible. God is revealing all that which is to come. It's the Bible that gives us the prophecy of what the future holds. All that which has been prophesied leading up to where we are today has been fulfilled. And what a blessing it is to look back to the almost 6,000 years or so of Bible prophecies and seeing how that all that God prophesied up to the day that we're living in, everything that God said would come to pass has come to pass. And now we're just waiting for what is prophesied concerning the end of this New Testament church age and then beyond that. And so Revelation chapter 21, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 5. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Amen. Father, we bow before you once again today. And what a blessing it is, Lord, just to be here in the midst of your presence and to be ministered to through music, fellowship. And now, Father, as we open up the holy scriptures that you've preserved for us, I know that you have a message for each one that's here, and I pray, God, for every individual that they would open up to let your message penetrate their hearts and their minds, that they would receive that spiritual food that they have need of to make the right decisions that you would have us to make. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. God reveals to us past, present, and future prophecies. As we look here in chapter 21, this would be after the earth is totally burned up. The Bible does say global warming is true. Not the way that humanity thinks it's going to be warmed up, but when God's finished with it, God is going to burn it up. This earth is going to pass away. After the earth has passed away, Satan, who is the power of the air of this earth, who is a spirit that worketh in darkness, that evil force, that evil presence that we battle with on a daily basis, Satan is going to be cast into a lake of fire. In the previous chapter, chapter 20, this is what God says will happen to that devil that we fight against today, the one that brings all the darkness and the one that is a cause for death, the one that is a cause for all the pain that humanity has to go through and suffer, all the different things that Satan has brought into humanity that God did not design. God, it was not God's plan. It's when man yielded to Satan that Satan, he gave him this power over him. And so we find here the Bible says in the previous chapter, chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceiveth them, and he is a master deceiver in this world, and he will continue to deceive people as long as they will be deceived. And the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented. Not a party in hell. The Bible says there would be a tormented day and night forever and ever. That's what the Bible, that's what it's always said. For some 2,000 years in this New Testament church age, this Bible has been accurate, and this is what it says is going to take place. After Satan is finally cast into this lake of fire, then there's going to be the judgment of all humanity. And the judgment of all humanity whose names are not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life will also be cast into this very same place that God prepared for the devil and his angels, this place of hell. The Bible says there in the very same chapter, chapter 20, that this was previous to chapter 21, in verse 15, it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, now this is the Lamb's Book of Life, was cast into the very same lake of fire, where there will be torment day and night forever and ever. That's the Bible. It's what God has written down, preserved for us to realize. After this happens, then what we read this morning, all that's what's happened. That's the prophecy. It's what God says is going to happen. He's given us future prophecy. And after that happens, then the Bible says in chapter 21 and verse 1, and I saw, here John on the island of Patmos, God's given him revelation as to what is going to take place. A new heaven. A new heaven or atmosphere. There's three atmospheres that we know. There's the atmosphere of earth, which the Bible would call that heaven. The air that we breathe, the atmosphere. There's the atmosphere of space. And there's the third heaven or the third atmosphere, and that's the abode of God. It's not on the other side of space, amen? Stop thinking about that. It is, if you will, all around us. We just can't see it. One day we'll be living in it. Amen. But I saw a new heaven. There was a new atmosphere and a new earth or place to occupy. Don't be looking for heaven to be a round earth like this round earth, because this earth has to have the sun. Can I tell you, in heaven, there's not going to be a physical sun. The Bible says here there's not going to be no more sea. Don't look for an ocean. There's not going to be an ocean there. And the atmosphere is going to be a new atmosphere, and there's going to be a new place to occupy humanity. Not in this physical form, but in a spiritual form that we're going to have. A glorified body. A body, but a glorified body. In the very same chapter, in chapter 21, he says this, if you look down to verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun. Don't look for another physical earth like this. Heaven is going to be so much more than this earth. They had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. That's for us today. This first atmosphere, the air that we breathe, and the second atmosphere, which is space, that we are aware of, That's for us. That's for earth. That's where God designed to be a place where it was inhabited by man. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So no need of the oceans and no need of the sun, and the Lamb, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light. And God himself. The Bible says, and God himself is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And again he says this, verse 3, God himself. I think God wants us to know that he is going to be a visible presence. We will be able to visually see God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And we're going to visually have a physical influence, and we will be known as we were known on this earth. God's going to give us an awareness of this life on this earth as far as who we are in relationship to how we know everyone else. And we will be known as we were known. But it's going to be a totally different place. It's going to be a different body. It's going to be a different atmosphere. It's going to be a different place to inhabit. In his presence, which we will see with our eyes, with a vision that we'll have in heaven. His presence will abolish tears. His presence will abolish death. And along with that, the aging process. His presence will abolish sorrow. His presence will abolish crying. His presence will abolish pain. I mean, if you believe what the Bible says right there, and you ought to, because everything else that God has revealed to us that would come to pass has come to pass, the Bible is truth. It's not philosophy, as we hear from man. The Bible is fact. And if you believe the Bible as God would have you to take it literally and believe what God has preserved for us, can I say right now, we would all be saying, wow. Heaven will be heaven because of his presence. He wants us to make note of that. Then, when we get to heaven, when all the other things are passed, and God has given us a new environment, a new body to dwell in, if you will, and a new place to inhabit, he's going to be there. God is with men. God himself shall be with them. His presence. Words cannot fully describe all that it's going to be. Can't do it. Our minds could not handle it. It would blow our minds. Amen? Because we're limited in our understanding. One day all those limitations would be taken away, and we will understand as he understands all things. So all that to lead up to this, the message I want to preach to you this morning is his presence now. The difference is it will be unmistakable in heaven. We will have vision to see him just as he is. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. The last words of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, who is God manifested in the flesh, who knows what heaven is going to be like, who is preparing that new heaven and that new earth even now. Before he ascended back up to heaven, this is what he said. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In the heaven that we just described, the abode of God, where we will live forevermore. All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's the great commission to the church and all believers. We ought to be concerned about every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability to have an opportunity to know the truth. They will not hear the truth from the world. They will not hear the truth from religion. They will not hear the truth from philosophies. If their world is going to hear the truth, it's going to come by way of those that have believed the truth and received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Saviors. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. What things? Whatsoever I have commanded you. Everything that he taught while he was here. New Testament Christianity. And this is what I want you to see. Lo, I, who's God, who has the power of all heaven and earth, am with you always, even unto the end, when the world would be burned up. That ought to bring another wow. There's a wow factor in what we understand heaven to be like. And God has explained it to us. He's written it down. He's given us this insight into it. And it ought to, when you really believe it, when you understand it and believe it, you're wowed. You're saying, wow. And the very same thing ought to be true when you realize his presence with us now. In heaven, there will be no doubt because we will have vision to see him. In this physical life that we're living today on earth, we do not have heavenly vision. The Old Testament, there was a time when God revealed it to them, and Jacob was able to see the angels ascending and descending from heaven. He was able to look around and he would see all these angels. Because he had heavenly vision. He could see that which cannot be seen with the naked eye. Even God would manifest himself to them in forms, in heavenly forms, in the Old Testament. Now, we don't have that today because we have the completion of the Bible. There's no need for signs and wonders today. We have the full revelation of the Word of God. We are to have faith and believe what God has written down and preserved for us. This is what it's all about. God always wanted us to live by faith and not by sight. So, we don't have that today. And because we don't have that today, there's much here that blinds us to his presence. Did you get a hold of that? If you don't acknowledge the presence of God, it's because you've been blinded. And there's much here. The flesh will blind you to the presence of God because it will have you to live opposite God's will. The devil, if he can, will blind you to the presence of God because he wants you to live the way he wants you to live. And the world. The humanistic philosophy of the world and how they live and how they function will blind you to the presence of God if we allow it. When we are aware of his presence here, it makes a difference. Amen. The psalmist would write, in thy presence is fullness of joy. If you're wowed by thinking about what heaven's going to be and realize you're going to be able to see God the Father and God the Son as the Lamb, and God the Son as the Lamb is going to break, he's going to be as bright and as powerful as the sun in this world. He is going to have the very same power and the brightness that we have today and dependent upon the sun to live in on this earth today. And we'll see that. And we'll see the presence of the Holy Spirit of God who is now working inside every born-again believer to help you to realize his spirit bearing witness with your spirit to help you to have faith to believe in what God has written down for us in the Bible. We'll see it then. But we can have that same fullness of joy as we by faith believe it now. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I am with you. Isn't that what he said? Do you have the faith to believe it? Then you're saying, wow. David said in Psalms 51:11, cast me not away from thy presence. Because he had learned to enjoy and depend upon the presence of God. In the book, Psalms chapter 31, write this down. Let me just read it to you though. Psalms chapter 31 and verse 19 and 20. Psalms 31, verse 19 and 20. This is what the Bible says. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. If you fear God, you know he exists. If you fear God, that means you reverence him for who he is. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. In this life, I fear God, I acknowledge that there is a God, I reverence him for who he is, and I trust him. Amen. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. That belief will hide you in his presence. Yeah. We can have knowledge as we put faith in what the Bible teaches us of his presence now. First of all, in our personal lives, when we get saved. When we get saved. Because in order for a person to get saved, they have to realize they're lost. They have to see themselves going to a devil's hell. And realize that I deserve that because of my sin. The wages of sin is death. That's eternal damnation in the place of hell that the Bible reveals is fire and brimstone, which is an eternal place that God created for Satan, his angels, and all that reject Jesus Christ will go there. That's what the Bible reveals to us. That's what's going to take place. So I have to believe that. If I'm going to get saved, I have to first of all believe that what the Bible says about hell is real. I deserve, I'm going there because I'm lost and my sin, the wages, the payment for my sin is death. But then what is going to cause us to rejoice is to realize God loved me enough to send his only begotten son to pay my sin debt. He paid my sin debt on Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago. It is recorded in the secular history books. Not only in the Bible, it is recorded in the secular history books. And as a Christian nation, we have it on our calendar to remind us on a regular yearly basis that Jesus Christ came to this world. He was born of a virgin Easter. He died on Calvary's cross. He resurrected. He resurrected from the grave on Easter. That's what we acknowledge there. He was born, we acknowledge that on Christmas, amen, on our Christian calendar. It's recorded for us. You have to believe it.
God has very clearly left enough of the history of who he is and what he's done for us so that we might by faith believe it. And so when you believe that and you have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, which is now his spirit, God's spirit, God himself is bearing witness with you. He's saying, you are lost and on your way to a devil's hell. You better believe this and receive my gift of everlasting life. That is you experiencing his presence. You might not have understood all of it, but when you go back to it and you see how that has changed your life, how that has never left you, how that has never forsaken you, that God has, his spirit has always been revealing things to you and helping you and directing you. When you see that and you acknowledge that, that's his presence. That's his presence. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Chapter 2 and 3, he addresses this church age. Revelation gives us insight in past, present, and future. Past is Old Testament. Present is the church age. Church age is found in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. At the end of the church age, this is what he says. After dealing with the churches during this church age, he says this in chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I, God the Son, who's going to be the light of heaven, the Lamb. I stand at the door and knock. When you come under conviction, the presence of God is knocking on your heart's door. When you come under conviction, a lot of times you feel like your heart's going to jump out of your body. If you don't understand it, you think, oh, am I having a heart attack? What's going on here? And sometimes, you know, I see people just grab the pew and they actually, we have indentations all around the in all the pews from people just putting the It's that powerful. It's that real. When you come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, it is real. It is. That's the presence of God. And at that point, God's given everyone a free will. And when he convicts and his presence is revealed and you have that conviction, you're going to make a decision. You're either going to receive him or you're going to reject him. If you receive him, his presence will be with you for the rest of your existence on planet Earth. Wow. No matter how old you, how long you live and how old you become on earth, if you have received him, he will never leave you nor forsake you. His presence will always be with you because he is now coming inside of you. His presence. If you reject him, you'll go a different direction in life. You either receive or reject. If any man hear my voice and open the door, God could knock the door down if he wanted to. He doesn't. He's not going to force himself on anyone. If you don't want to believe in God, you don't have to. And you'll live in darkness for the rest of your life on planet Earth. That's what the Bible says. He's knocking. Conviction. He's knocking. If any man hear his voice, hear my voice, and open the door, you have to open the door, I will come in unto him. He'll not reject you. He'll not turn you away because of your past sins or for because of your what you've done or whatever it might be, who you are, whatever your skin color or whatever your bank statements are. He's not going to look at any of that. He's going to look to see if you'll open the door. If your will, a free will would open the door to his presence. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear
what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Wow. John chapter 14. And I'm going to be quick here, but I want you to follow with me. This is powerful stuff. John chapter 14 and verse 16 and 17. Jesus here telling the disciples about this indwelling, about his presence in this life. We've seen what his presence is going to, the difference it'll make in heaven, but it can make that kind of a difference here on this earth. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. They're in darkness. They won't come into the light. Because it seeth him not. They don't believe in him. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the Word of God. Neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. His presence. The first experience with God's presence will come at conviction of our need to be saved. Your awareness of this. The person who rejects will not enjoy the blessings of his presence. In contrast to his presence, there will be spiritual darkness. That one that is blinded to the presence of God, who lives in spiritual darkness, there's no true belief in prayer. There's no belief in biblical morality. There's no belief in church, which Jesus established for his children to assemble themselves together on a regular basis to accomplish what God has the church here and for every individual to accomplish. In contrast to believing in his presence, there's going to be spiritual darkness. No true belief in prayer because there's no God to pray to. No true belief in morality because morality changes with every generation and you make morality to be whatever you want it to be. If you want to change and believe in any kind of marrying anyone else and whoever else, you can marry children, you can marry the same sex, you can do this, you can make whatever morality you want it to be. If you want to have three wives instead of one wife, or you want to have three husbands instead of one husband, you can make morality to be whatever you want it to be. That's when you're living in darkness and you have no spiritual light. No belief in prayer, no belief in morality, no belief in the need for the church, no, except for weak-minded people. They need the crutch of the church. That's what humanism believes. No belief in heaven. Heaven is whatever you think it is, want it to be. No belief in hell. If we want the blessings of his presence now, you have to believe in him and receive him when he knocks. When you come under that conviction, God's knocking at your door. It's up to you to open the door. His presence now is experienced at salvation. After salvation, we experience it every time we have a need. Every time we have a need, the Bible says God gives us grace to help in time of need. That grace, listen to me, is his presence. Grace to help in time of need. Whenever, as a born-again believer, whatever need I have, whether it's physical, financial, relationships, whatever it might be, when I have a need, I know that my God is real. I believe that he knows me. He knows me better than I know myself. And as I look to him, he'll give me a grace. And that grace, there is grace for every need that we have. But written down and understood, grace is his presence. Being aware of his presence in the hospital. Being aware of his presence when no one else is around. And I'm dying. I'm hurting. Being aware of his presence is his grace. Philippians chapter 4. I've got to quit here, but I want you to get this. Philippians chapter 4. How do I get into that place and awareness of his presence? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Stop letting Satan blind you to the presence of God and being caught up with worries, being overwhelmed with worries. If you're overwhelmed with worries, it's because you're not aware of the presence of God. You've been blinded to it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, God has promised to always be there, and you can't see him, but you by faith can know that he's there, and that's his grace. And he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Talk to him. Communicate with him. And when you are aware of his presence and the peace of God, promise which passeth all understanding, shall. Because you can see him. You see him by faith. You don't see a physical existence. You see him by faith. And you take him at his word. I'll never leave you. I'll be with you even unto the end. It's not the end yet. He's still with you. Yeah. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. That's who you are. That's what we need worked on more than anything else. Our hearts, seat of the emotion, and our minds. Oh, how we need to be aware of his presence through Christ Jesus. We also see his presence when we're being tempted. You see his presence at salvation. If you receive him, he's always with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So when you're in need of help, no matter what you're going through, you're experiencing his presence. You know he's there. When you're going through the temptations, when you're going through the trials, when Satan is trying to knock you down, he's there. He's there in the midst of all our trials. Yeah. Quoting God's word makes us aware of his presence. Jesus going through the temptation of the devil, if he could have caused him to block him from thinking about God the Father. But what he did while he was facing temptations, he quoted the words of God, which brought him back to an awareness of his presence. When you're going through the trials of life, when you're facing the temptations of life, listen to me, you understand the presence of God and you understand the word of God. And when you memorize the word of God and you start quoting the word of God, listen to me, it brings back to mind his presence. And his presence is what makes the difference between victory and defeat. His presence is the most powerful thing for us to be aware of this side of heaven. In heaven, be no doubt. You have heavenly vision. You have glorified body. You'll see him as he is, and he will be with us. He will be there in a visual presence. Listen to me. And being aware of his presence makes all the difference in the world. Today, you won't see him visually. But by faith, you can know he's there. Don't allow Satan. Don't allow your flesh. Don't allow this world to blind you to the very presence of God. If I could have every head bowed. Think about what you just heard. God's revealed to us what his presence is going to be like in heaven. That's a wow factor. That ought to cause everyone who reads that to understand that, to just to shout amen, hallelujah, praise God. You can do the same thing now. When you realize the very same presence is with you now. The worst place to be as a place void of faith and seeing His presence now. You don't want to be there. You never want to go there. We always want to be aware of His presence now. Father, we bow before You. Thank You for the truth of Your word. And God, as we have seen what heaven's going to be like, and God, that helps us to know what makes a difference is Your presence. And God, what a blessing it is to know we can have Your presence now. Help each and every one here. There's going to be some, I believe, that will come under conviction for the first time, possibly, during this invitation. They're going to have a decision to make. And I pray, God, that You would help each one to open up the door, to let Your presence in. And for those that have Your presence but have been blinded to it by the world, the flesh, or the devil, help those to open back up their vision to see Your presence now. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name.